The month of February is designated as the month of love, and for the obvious reason that Valentine's falls in this month, February 14. And there are many legends surrounding the story of its patron, Saint Valentine, believed to have been martyred for his Christian faith. My favorite version is that he was executed on February 14, year 269 AD. And on the day he died, he left a love letter for the daughter of the jailer with whom he fell in love. And he signed it, "From your Valentine." So that's probably is the source, but most probably it is a spurious story. But we all adore love stories like that. But this month, we will address the subject of love not as a romantic story, not in a matchmaking venture. We will address a love relationship that should characterize the Christian life, which is love of brethren. May mga istorya ng pag-ibig na maaring nakakaakit sa atin, ngunit ang usaping pag-ibig sa pananampalatayang Kristiyano, lalo sa loob ng iglesia, ay napakaseryosong bagay ang pag-ibig sa kapatiran. And I will draw from a passage that is packed with lessons and principles on love of the brethren. And this is from the first letter of John. I will spare you all the scholarly discussions concerning authorship and simply assert that we believe that the author of this is the same author of the gospel, the disciple who belonged to the 12 apostles of Jesus. So we have here a man with a high pedigree of respect from the churches of the New Testament. The Apostle John is the author. And this letter was written by John with a pastoral concern over a church that has suffered departure from the faith by some of its members. In other words, some of its members became apostates, perhaps with a significant degree of number enough for John to write this letter in order to comfort as well as confront the members who may be vulnerable to this trend of apostasy. And some of these apostates were still in contact with some of the faithful members of the church that John is writing to, and aware of the potential for these apostates persuading the faithful, John draws a demarcation line to distinguish the genuine from the counterfeit. Dahil may mga umalis sa iglesia, at sa pag-alis nila sa iglesia, sila ay kasama sa mga nadisiplina ng iglesia, pero patuloy pa silang nakikipag-ugnayan sa mga miyembro, at alam ni Juan ang potensyal na sila ay maka-impluensya sa mga miyembro. Kaya't isang dahilan ng pagsulat na ito ni Juan ay bigyan ng maliwanag na pag-iiba ang mga tunay na mananampalataya doon sa mga huwad, sa mga hindi totoo na mananampalataya. And he draws this demarcation line in various ways, and one part of that demarcation line is our passage. In other words, this is how brethren are to be distinguished between the true and the counterfeit, and one such evidence and demonstration of genuineness is that there is love of brethren. So we are not dealing with this in any romantic, cute way. This is serious stuff. This is a matter of weighty gravity that we need to seriously examine in our own lives, in our own practice and relationship to one another. I invite you to 1 John chapter 3, and we'll read verses 10 to 15. First John chapter 3, beginning verse 10 to verse 15. "By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. In verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You would have expected that a discourse on love from the Apostle John would use very cute language, something very attractive, but he uses here some sharp words to describe those who do not love at all in the relationship of brethren, because again, he is not using love here to simply attract. He is using love in order to discriminate, in order to distinguish. Ginagamit niyang usaping pag-ibig upang pag-ibahin sino ang tunay doon sa hindi tunay, sa huwad. At sinasabi niyang kung walang pag-ibig sa kapatiran, ay walang tunay na buhay ng isang ligtas. Before this, John has already made some startling contrasts between the genuine and the counterfeit. He begins with the issue of consciousness of sin. He says, anyone who does not say that they have sinned and he has sinned is a liar and is not of God. He uses the issue of obedience to the commandments. But in no contrast is his language more sharp, more firm than in the contrast that distinguishes the true and the false on the matter of love. Again, I say this is serious matter. And my message is Christian love to brethren is a distinctive evidence of regenerate life. Ang Kristiyanong pag-ibig sa kapatiran ay nagbubukod tanging ebidensya ng kaligtas, ng niligtas na buhay. Christian love to brethren is a distinctive evidence of regenerate life. Now, you may think, and many think, that love is a grace for the mature. John describes it otherwise. He says, this is from the beginning. Mula pa sa umpisa ng pananampalataya ay mananahana ang pag-ibig sa isang tunay na iniligtas. Granted that it will be capable of growth. There are degrees of expressing love. But John is firm in saying, if you really had the right beginning, if you really had the right regenerate life, then from the very beginning of such a life, you should love. And we do well to examine how love resides in our hearts and how it operates amidst our church life. And let us look at this in two ways. First, as proof of genuineness, patunay ng pagkatotoo. Proof of genuineness and second, line of division. Ang linya na naghahati. Line of division. This is the way John uses the issue of love of brethren. The first is proof of genuineness. Now, I use the title proof of life. This is an expression that is used often in negotiating for hostages. When a negotiator is negotiating with abductors of a victim, they will demand proof of life. Otherwise, they might give in to the demands, and yet the hostage really is dead. It has happened many times where the negotiations was botched because the negotiator did not demand proof of life, and in the eagerness of the victim's family to claim back their loved one, they pay the ransom and then only to discover the victim is dead, even as the negotiations were going on. That's proof of life. If proof of life is necessary in such crisis situations, proof of life is necessary when a person claims to be a Christian, professes to be a good member of the church, one proof of that is that he must truly be practicing love of brethren. Christian love you see, grows out of Christ's love for his disciples. This is a point that John is going to stress again and again in this letter. The reason why we are loving the brethren, the reason why we are capable and motivated to love the brethren, is not because they are lovable, not because they're lovely, not because we are attracted to them in any way, not because of personality likeness. John's point is that we love because we are recipients of that greatest of love, the love by Christ for his people. And because of that, whoever Christ loves, we too must love. That's why I'm using the adjective Christian. We are talking here of Christian love. Natural love is something everybody is capable of doing. You know, mafiosi or mafia people are known for their love for their children. They will protect their children at any cost. This is just natural love. These are wicked men who make no conscience of destroying the lives of others, and yet they are capable of loving their children. Even Adolf Hitler was known to love his dog named Blondie. Even a wicked man can love. And that's not the love we're talking about. You may have natural love for your friends in the church. You may have natural love for your family members. The question is, do you love brethren because Christ loves me and Christ loves them? And if that is the case, there is that movement in my heart that draws out to these men and women. However their characteristics may affect me, yet they are the loved of Christ, and I must love them. Several times in this letter, John refers to the appearance of the Son of God on earth in order to fulfill redemption. He says, for example, just before our text in chapter 3, verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Whatever the Christian is, and if ever he will progress spiritually, it all comes from Christ. Ano man ang Kristiyano at kung paano man siya lumago sa pagiging Kristiyano, nagsisimula kay Hesukristo. Diyan ang simula ng tunay na pananampalatayang nakaliligtas ay kay Hesukristo. At kung meron dito na hindi pa nakapag-umpisa, maaaring marami ka nang natutunan sa Biblia, pero wala ka pa rin pananampalataya kay Hesukristo bilang iyong Panginoon at tagapagligtas, doon ka mag-umpisa. Huwag sa maraming kaalaman sa Biblia, kundi mag-umpisa ka kay Hesukristo na iyong Panginoon at tagapagligtas. And that's where it begins. So this grace of Christian love, when we love the brethren, it must be out of Christ's love for us. As part of our series, we will see that John makes a direct appeal that we do for each other in love is following the pattern of Christ. He laid down his life for us, so we must lay down our lives for the brethren. Eh, ganun ang pag-ibig sa kapatiran. May sinusundan. Ang sinusundan ay ang pag-ibig ni Hesukristo. Why a Christian loves his fellow Christians is because Christ has made those Christians the object of his love. And to the extent that your loving the brethren draws from reasons other than Christ, it is not Christian love. It may be friendly, it may be natural, it may be the love that has grown out of your long company with each other, but to the extent that your love is not because Christ loves this brother, this sister, to that extent it may just be natural love and not Christian love. Making love of the brethren a proof of life. It's not saying that it is salvation by works. It is simply saying that our love grows out of that original love that Christ extended to sinners that he saves. And the challenge of this to us is grow in your appreciation of Christ's love. And with it, your love for the brethren. You see, love for brethren is not something that you grow by a matter of resolution. And simply say, mula ngayon, mas mamahalin ko ang aking kapatid. Eh, kahit na mag-resolve ka ng mag-resolve ba ng ganyan, kung hindi mo ibinabatay na tugon sa pag-ibig na Jesucristo, lagi kang makakahanap ng dahilan kung bakit hindi ka kikilos ng ayon sa pag-ibig. So if there is one thing to move you to love the brother, the sister, it must be because Christ loved you, Christ loves that brother and sister. It is possible that our love is moved more by liking personalities. So you tend to love those who like you and those who are like you. And it is sad when love in the church is drawn by like personalities and temperaments. That's not fellowship. It's called cliques. When such is our way of loving, it fails in its role of being a distinctive evidence of saving faith. That's just natural way of loving. We love those who love back. And we love back those who love us. This is love born of nature, not of grace. Christian love is that which moves from Christ's first love. So the test of this Christian love is when the object is not natural to love. Yan ang pagsubok. Madaling mahalin yung gusto mo, katulad mo na personalidad. Pero kung kaharap mo na ay mahirap mahalin sa kanyang personalidad, sa kanyang gawa, sa kanyang gawi, doon talaga nasusubok. That is why we must not exercise love out of emotion. We are not to understand love as emotion. This is love at its most misleading. Young people are the most vulnerable to this. They respond with emotion to displays of love. And without the discipline of the mind, they find themselves wrongly responding with emotional love, even when it is wrong. And this can happen in the church. You draw a circle, you have insiders of your circle, and the rest are outsiders. And you can be civil towards them. You can even be friendly in your tone towards them, but no drawing out of love, because they're not of the circle. Go back to the love of Christ. That love which sent him dying on the cross to save sinners, save you, save me, and save your brethren. He did not think of personality. He did not think of the attractiveness of anyone. And our Reformed doctrine of election always reminds us that there is no ground in man for his election. It is out of the good pleasure of God. And Christ went to the extent of dying for sinners such as we are, regardless of personality, regardless of attractive ways. This is what John says in chapter 4, verse 10, a verse that you should memorize about love. This is love, not that we loved God. In chapter 4, verse 10, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as propitiation for our sins. So when the New Testament commands us to do something for brethren out of love, it is often based on what Christ has done for us. Romans 15:2, let each please his neighbor for his good to build him up, for Christ did not please himself. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You always see that pattern, as Christ has done, because you may have objections. Why would I forgive him? He's done it repeatedly. He's done it so offensively. Then this reason is attached: as Christ has forgiven you. And all those objections should melt away at the thought, for how do I sin against Christ? Do I not sin repeatedly? Do I not sin offensively? And yet Christ forgives me. And the Bible says that's how you forgive, brethren, as Christ. And that's why our love, to be Christian love, must be that love moved by the love of Jesus Christ. How we need to pray that our love will be a real proof of the life we have in Christ. That is what makes it Christian love. I'm reading this book with the title Rampage by James Scott. It is about the battle for the liberation of Manila. It was when MacArthur has returned and Manila was entered by the Allied forces, mainly the Americans. The first place they liberated was UST, because UST was transformed into the biggest incarceration camp by the Japanese in all of Asia. That's where there were many prisoners. And when the Americans entered, they began liberating. They shot fatally a guard who was the object of hatred by the inmates. He was so cruel. It was a Japanese, simply called Lieutenant Abiko. And so as he lay mortally wounded, people, inmates, were kicking at him, spitting at him, and who can blame them? He was so cruel to them. But amidst that cruelty, someone came, lifted him up, put him on the table, and tried to treat him. And he was a doctor. In other words, no matter how hatred must have filled his own heart, he let being a doctor prevail over that personal hatred. And that Lieutenant Abiko lived for 4 more days, and he died. But my point is that if one would be honest in his pledge as a doctor, we are pledged as Christians to love even the unlovely, to love even the unattractive of character, because Christ loves. That's why it is a proof of genuineness. But then there's a second point that John is making, a point concerning this love. It is a line of division. John not only shows how love proves that Christ is a reality, it also creates a divide from unbelievers. Christian love will draw a sharp line that divides disciples from the worldly. Kung saan ang Kristiyanong pag-ibig, maghahati ito sa tunay na Kristiyano doon sa mga hindi mananampalataya. The division between love and lack of love follows from the broader division of the righteous and the unrighteous. But unbelievably, John traces this division back to the earliest manifestation. What? Cain's murder of his brother, Abel. And that becomes the prompt for John to simply contrast with those who fail to exercise love. How does he contrast it? He chose the worst manifestation of lack of love. On the one hand, he says, those who love the brethren, its contrast is, you would have expected him to say, those who do not love. Instead, he says, murderer. He chose the worst manifestation of lack of love in order to draw an ugly picture. For the Christian, if you do not love, it's not just that you are not like mature Christians who could love. If you do not love, John says, you are like murderers. The worst possible result of not loving. He says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, like Cain. Lack of love is the beginning of the worst. Not to love is just a flip side of hatred. And for Christians, You just cannot say, I do not love the brother or the sister, the way we could say, I cannot love a person I do not know. But in the church, when we know each other and there is no love, John says the contrast of loving the brethren is to be a murderer. He paints the failure to love at its blackest color. It is not just an unfortunate deficiency. Brother John explains why Christians are the object of hatred by unbelievers, because when Christians love, hatred is exposed. And how true this is. I teach Christian history, and much of it contains stories of hatred and persecution of Christians. And yet the more Christians are persecuted, they express, they manifest that love, which all the more exposes in the blackest hue the hatred of their persecutors. John is exposing the inner recesses of the heart that lead to ill will, to harming people, and at the worst, to murder. When Christians exercise love as they should, there is the unintended result of exposing the haters. John is describing it so sharply so that readers will not even want to be associated with not loving. His point is, this is not to occur in a church. Hindi dapat nangyayari yan sa iglesia. It has been established by the military that the cause of the holo bombing are suicide bombers. Meaning bombers who, in the course of creating mayhem and killing people, they themselves were killed. Now, you cannot say that these suicide bombers positively hated their victims. Probably they did not feel anything for them. That's the point. They did not love them, and that was enough for them to cause murder. And that's the point of John. If you do not love in a church, see it in its worst, ugliest picture. It is murder. It is not a little deficiency. So I challenge you, brethren, highlight love as the character that distinguishes you from the counterfeit of the world. Ito ang iyong pakaigtingin na pagkakaiba natin sa mundo. Remember that John is making a distinction not only with plain unbelievers, but from those who once belonged to the church but have departed, the apostates. They are those described in chapter 2:19 as those who went out from us because they really were not of us. Because if they really were of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. So in other words, he is making this distinction between true believers and those who departed. We must love as a line of division. Or we would love to make the distinction in our faithfulness to the truth. Being able to say, I am a believer in the doctrines of grace. I am reformed in theology. And I would dare not belittle the importance of doctrine. In the pastor's conference, I will be giving 3 papers on the Synod of Dort as its 400th year this year. When they defended the doctrines of grace, I am for the kind of ministry that is solidly committed to doctrine, to the sovereignty of God, to the doctrines of grace. But that is not the way we are distinguished from the world. For John, that is not the contrast that highlights the beauty of one and the ugliness of the other. And we can be sure that as John was writing this, his mind was going back to the upper room discourse when Jesus, just the night that he was to be arrested, gathered his disciples and taught them very clear principles. And one of those in chapter 13:35 of the Gospel of John, By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Ito ang magpapatunay sa mata ng mundo na kayo'y aking mga alagad kung meron kayong pag-ibig sa isa't isa. Sana naman sinabi na lang ng Panginoon, papatunayan niyo ang inyong pagkaalagad sa akin kung kayo'y mga Calvinist, kung kayo'y Reformed, kung kayo'y Baptist. Hindi ganoon. The badge that Jesus chose for distinction is not doctrinal loyalty, but love for brethren. Love of brethren is the Christian in the Christian faith, or is the Christian faith at its most beautiful, at its most wholesome, and its opposite at its ugliest. All of us feel the need to grow in love, but the point is that from the very beginning, we must reject being unloving. We may call it indifferent. You're just being indifferent to a brother, to a sister. John calls it hatred. We may think that we are just choosing not to be involved, but John sees the potential for murder. The root is failure in that love that comes from Christ. Can I appeal to anyone here who still has not known that love of Christ personally? Go to the cross. See the man who died, whose blood oozed from his body, which we will remember tonight in the Lord's Supper. And he suffered all that because he loved sinners. May you know that love that alone can save. Resolve that the beauty of Christ will be more in display in your life and in our church through the loving of the brethren. Now people may ask, how can you speak so much of love, and yet aren't you the people who preach wrath? Aren't you the people who say that God is angry with sinners? And that kind of contradiction they see in the scripture is a beautiful integration. And John sees no contradiction in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as propitiation. What is propitiation? Propitiation is satisfying wrath. In other words, the greatest display of the love of God, that which shows us how much he loves us, is in the man on the cross. As he was dying, he was bearing upon his person nothing less than the fullness of God's wrath that we can only match by spending eternity in hell. And Jesus suffered your hell on the cross because he loves. That's the beauty of that love. No contradiction. The man, Jonathan Edwards, most known for the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, less known is the fact that he wrote probably the most beautiful series of sermons on 1 Corinthians 13. The title is Charity and Its Fruits, or Love and Its Fruits. So this man who preached an angry God, yet an angry God satisfied by the sacrifice of Christ, is a man moved by love for brethren. And this is the challenge for us, brethren. The church can be such a wholesome place, but only when brethren love one another. In the world, there is so much heaviness, jealousy, competition. May it be that when we come to church, we all feel the relief because we come to a place where there is love. Let us sing our last hymn that asserts our love for the kingdom, and that means also our love for
for the church. I love thy kingdom, Lord. Let's close in prayer.
Dakila naming Diyos at Ama ng pag-ibig, panalangin namin na manahan sa amin ang tunay na Kristiyanong pag-ibig, hindi lamang ang pag-ibig na likas ng dahil sa relasyon o ng dahil sa pagkakaibigan. Loobin mo na ang pag-ibig na manahan at umapaw sa iglesyang ito ay pag-ibig pangkapatiran ng mga Kristiyano na ang dahilan ay ang pag-ibig ni Jesucristo. Father, may we take very seriously the way John presents the issue of love of brethren. It is not just love that happens or that exists in the mature. It is at the very beginning a distinguishing grace of those who are genuine, those who are true disciples of the Lord Jesus. So we pray that we may truly take this very seriously, and the only way we can love in this way is to define our loving the brethren by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we not love by dictation of personality, of company, but may our love be that which is patterned after Christ's love for us, that we are to receive one another, not to please ourselves because Christ received us and did not please himself, that we are to forgive one another, again, not dictated by our sense of offense or the gravity of the offense, but by the fact that Christ has forgiven us and how heavy our sins are against him, and yet he still forgives. May we be able to transcend the natural way of the world in issues of love, but instead our love may be defined by how God loves us in Christ. And this kind of love will create a division with the ways of the world. May we again take very seriously how John portrays it in this part of your word, that the contrast of loving is not just the absence of love, but he paints it in its blackest hue, that of murder. And we pray, Lord, that we may see the ugliness of failure to love in the context of church life. So help us, Lord, to recall and refresh the words of Jesus himself, who said that by this the world will know that you are my disciples, not by doctrinal loyalty, but if you love one another. We all know our need to grow in love. We all feel our infirmities and weakness. And we pray that we may indeed grow in the grace of love in this church, so that this church will truly be a place that is set apart from the world, a lampstand amidst darkness. And we pray that in this church, there will be such love for one another that comes from what Christ has done for us. And we pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.